Continuing in our study through Leviticus, let's please turn to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35. And praise God, Jeremy, covering last week, dealt with laws associated with sexual immorality, which is kind of be picked up again this week, because it, before, you know, the earlier chapter was about the immorality. This time it's about the penalties for the immorality. And then we saw various different laws that we all know to be laws that we want, you know, governing us, like, you know, we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't steal, we should pay, workers should be paid, we shouldn't mock the deaf or the blind, have justice in court, whether you're rich or poor, you know, that a rich person shouldn't get justice for him because he's rich, a poor shouldn't get justice for them because they're poor, no gossiping, no hatred, no vengeance, no pagan tattoos or cuttings or hairdos, no harlotry, and to use even honest scales. I mean, sometimes when I'm pumping gas, I just look at the scale and I realize there's a little certificate on there that has been tested within a certain time to make sure the Bureau of Standards has said, yes, this scale is giving you a gallon for a gallon. It's a biblical thing. You know, again, our society has been run by truths of the Bible that have been adopted by a society that has had a blessing as a result. And I am sure that someday that, you know, those won't mean anything. As men throw off the fear of God, the little stamp will mean nothing and a gallon will be 0.9 gallons. You'll pay for the gallon, but you'll get 0.9. And people know, oh, well, we just ripped them off, you know, but who cares? Because we've all evolved from pond scum, so there's no God to fear. This week, we're going to see the penalty for sin, sexual immorality, and more laws on the priesthood, the high priesthood. But in Leviticus 19:35, a little lead-in, it says, you shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, an honest hin. These are, you know, measurements for grain in a basket, basically. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes, all my judgments, and perform them. I am the Lord. God wants us to perform that, and he told the Jews, even a stranger that comes among you, you don't rip them off because they're a stranger. They're a non-Jew. You don't just change the scales because they're a non-Jew. Chapter 20, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who have become Jews because they have adopted the nation of Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. So the idol Molech was a thorn in the side of Israel throughout all of its history. And it, you know, it would change names at times, but the bottom line, the giving their children to Molech was in the idea of sacrificing your children. A child would be born, and then there would be a statue of Molech, of Baal. They would do it with Baal or any of the idolatrous gods of the nations around them, that just like we see down in, you know, the Incas and the others that all got into human sacrifice of children. And any society that gets into abject idol worship, sexual immorality idol worship, will progress to human sacrifice. That's a historical fact. And then as soon as they progress to human sacrifice, they usually then go to cannibalism and then they're dead. They disappear. And that's why the lost nation of the Incas, the lost, you know, all this other stuff, they progress to the complete vileness and then God destroys them. And so what does the Bible say? An offering to an idol is an offering to demons. So when people get into idolatry, they're getting into serving demons. And what do the demons say to those people? Give me your children to sacrifice them. Why? Because Satan hates children, as we've emphasized so many times. And God looks down on the nation of Israel and he says, don't do this. And in a later verse, he's going to say, because of all these things, I'm casting out the people in front of you because they listened to demons. When the demons said, I want your children, okay, here's my children. And the demons would say, if you don't sacrifice your children, I'm going to make the crops go bad. I'm going to make the floods come. I'm going to make the volcano blow up if you're in Hawaii or whatever. And so then they start serving their children. and it's through sexual immorality. So they would worship the gods of sexual immorality, and then the demons would say, okay, that child that was born as a result, I want it to be mine. And as I've emphasized so often, but we're here right in the exact text, how is it different in America? It's not different in America. We have sacrificed 45 million babies in America since 1973 to Molech. Something Carl brought in some information to me this week that there's a representative, a congressman from Iowa, that has just sent this letter out dated September 4th, 2007. And somehow Carl got on the mailing list. Some of you might be on the mailing list. And it's basically emphasizing that let's really try and rid abortion from our land, which is a good thing to do. See, all Christians should be doing whatever it takes. And we're going to see another verse that would make it emphatic that we as people in America should be demanding that this stops. Because what God says in the next verse is he says, verse 4 and 5, and if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man who sacrifices their children to Molech, when he gives some of his descendants to Molech and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against the man and against his family. And we can interject parenthetically, and the nation. If the nation ignores it, I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. So in other words, if you see a guy commit, you know, human sacrifice of a child to the sex gods of Molech, and you don't do anything about it, I'll cut that person off. So in other words, we are all in this together. I mean, we are all in this together as Americans, that because 1973 and on, we have not done what it takes to make the laws change, which, you know, is not an easy thing to do. Well, this guy is having a new approach, because something I was even unaware of, that what the 1973 Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade said, and this is what the court said, we need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. The judiciary at this point, in other words, we, the Supreme Court, at this point in the development of man's knowledge is not in a position to speculate as to the answer of when does life begin. See, the court was saying, you know, when does life begin? We're not the experts. We're going to let that go. We're just going to rule that there's right to privacy. And privacy, women have privacy and they can do what they want. Then they went on to say, the court decision said, if the suggestion of the plaintiff saying, do not abort children, if the suggestion of personhood, that person's not a fetus, it's a person. It's a baby. It's not just a bunch of flesh in the womb. If this suggestion of personhood is established, the appellant's case, of course, collapses. For the fetus's right to life is then guaranteed specifically by the 14th Amendment. So in other words, the court said, if somebody can establish or does establish that that fetus is a person, is a human being, then abortion is no longer allowed, because the 14th Amendment guarantees the right to life for the citizens of America. And again, our framing fathers, based on the biblical injunction of life. See, the Bible is about life. Life for children. Liberty for children. Liberty within the confines of the laws of God. So, what this congressman, Steve King, is sending this letter out to hundreds of thousands of people in America is to say, write your congressman and say, the life to create a Life at Conception Act declares that the unborn children, persons, as defined by the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. So in other words, let's just pass a law that says babies are babies. Babies are people. And then if we can get all the legislators to say or say, no, I will not say that a baby's a baby, and therefore put them on, you know, put them out there before the world to show what they stand for, and then get it to President Bush. As soon as he signs a law, a baby in the womb is a baby, is a human being. As soon as that's law, abortion goes away. You know, the Supreme Court decision of abortion goes away. It's a worthwhile thing to be involved in. We'll have more of it on, you know, that we'll have this letter out on Sunday as a handout. And they sent Carl, they sent him a certificate to sign. And actually, it's kind of interesting. This is the legal certificate being sent to the representatives. And listen to this legal stuff. Because of Roe versus Wade, 45 million unborn children have died. Whereas, in Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court said, it's not for us to figure this out. Whereas the 14th Amendment of the the 14th Amendment of the Constitution says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, and property. And since Roe says we're depriving life, science is clear that human life begins at conception. And so the people are saying, we're asking you to make a law to just establish what we know to be true, which is life is achieved at conception, and therefore pass a law, put an end to this foolishness. I mean, people get, you know, if you get in a car accident and you cause the death of the unborn baby, you can get arrested for manslaughter and tried for manslaughter, convicted of manslaughter. it's happened. So there's such craziness to this. And the reason why there's craziness is there's no common sense to Satan. You listen to the things that Satan writes, like the Quran. You read it. It's just, it doesn't make sense. You listen to the channelers that channel demon spirits. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't have any logic to him. I just want to emphasize, as we're in this section of Scripture, God says, do not sacrifice your children to the sex gods, and we are doing it. And if we don't repent, then we will die as a country. And he makes it quite clear of that. And he says, if you do not stop others from doing it, if you just hide it in society. So the answer is, we should stop it. And if we wanted to survive as a nation, we would pass the death penalty for anyone killing children in abortion. So, Jeremy and I, in witnessing on Saturday down at our booth on the waterfront, we had an atheist came up to us, and he actually had several scriptures written down in his little notebook that he, what about this? What about that? And actually, the very things we're covering today. And the reason why I'm going to emphasize this is because people want to say, well, what about this? Kill the homosexual. And we're going to look at that in a minute. We have to have an answer for this. And here's the common answer for all these things. Well, you guys would, what about the guy that killed the abortionist? Well, he did so outside of the law. But I hope as a Christian that someday we'll pass a law that people that kill children in the womb will suffer capital punishment on town square. That's what I hope. And the only reason I hope that is for the survival of my nation. Because God says, a nation that doesn't do this will be destroyed. A nation that doesn't obey God's law, a nation that allows people to kill children, will be destroyed. So he wrote this law for the sake of survival of the Jewish nation. Now, we're not the Jewish nation, so we're not off killing homosexuals and prostitutes and everything, but I would support the nation's laws to allow the killing of people that would kill babies in the womb. For the capital punishment of rapists, for capital punishment of people that would just violate grandchildren and everything else. I would support that because the Bible supports that, for the survival of the country. And then I said to this atheist, by the way, did you notice that it seems like the weather and finances and everything in the country are started going south? I mean, don't you? And see, God says that everything bad will start happening to a nation that does these things. Aren't you noticing that? And he didn't say, no, I'm not noticing it. And Jeremy was there to finish talking. And this is throughout this section of Scripture. We have to keep that in our mindset, that we can communicate that to people. If America is to survive, we have to outlaw homosexuality. If America is to survive, we have to outlaw abortion. And if we don't, we'll just go into the ash heap of history like every other country that has allowed these things to happen. And we'll be a little dot on the history map of a future history book, on a timeline of a future history book. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself, verse 6. With them I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Yahweh, your God. I am the Lord, your God. Mediums and familiar spirits and channelers. Channelers, familiar spirits, are the spirits that speak through mediums who are letting demon spirits speak to them, like Rampha up in wherever, Yelm. There's a lady up in Yelm that, people spend thousands of bucks to go have her channel Rampha through her to give them great wisdom. She's a familiar spirit channeler. And the Bible says, don't allow them to be in your land. I will set my face against those because demons are speaking through them. And you shall keep my statutes, verse 8, and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who sets you apart to be a nation that's protected by Him. An umbrella of protection as He sets you apart because you're obeying His law. If you go out from obeying His law, now you're out of His protection. You're not set apart. You're not sanctified anymore. You're destroyed. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now I don't remember if this was one of the verses the guy shared with us. He was rattling off a bunch and he was talking to Jeremy for some of it. What about this? What, you know, this is killing of children for curses. If I wanted America to survive as a country, I would hope that there would be a law that a child that cursed his mother or godly mother and father, by the way, because this is the law of God. This is pertaining to a Jewish nation. This is pertaining to mothers and fathers that are already, by the law, required to teach their children all the laws of God. This isn't the parent that's saying, come on, kids, smoke some dope with me. No, forget you, Dad. I'm going to go outside and just leave here. You're supposed to honor your father and mother. See, we have to understand that there's an honoring and father and mother associated with a God-fearing father and mother. And I grieve for the number of children. I'm hearing every year more and more children that are being raised where occultism is happening in the homes. Children are being subjected to vile things because their parents are bringing the vileness into the very home, which was supposed to be the protection of those children, and they're suffering horrible, miserable things. And then people say, well, honor your father and mother. No, in that case, get out of that home in any way that you can. But in this case, honoring, and you know, anyone who curses a Jewish mother and father trying to teach the word of God, then God's saying, that person has to be stoned publicly. The other kids will figure it out really quickly that they don't want to dishonor their mother and father. Children who do not honor their father and mother are not going to adopt the laws of God being taught by the mothers and fathers during the development years. And then what happens? One generation and the nation is destroyed. And so God says, I can't have one generation. I need 50 generations to get to Jesus. And so I'm giving you all these laws and I'm bringing capital punishment because you guys have to live 50 generations and I happen to know sometimes you're going to get down to just thousands because I'm going to have to breathe my judgment upon your nation to discipline you. But when you're being obedient, you will not allow a child to dishonor his father and mother by cursing at them. I would have been killed as a kid. And you know, and I look at the law of God and I would have said, you know what, if I knew this was the law of the land, I wouldn't have said what I said to my parents. And if I wouldn't have been saying what I said to my parents, even though, you know, he wasn't vile, but he was trying to teach me, and I was a totally rebellious kid. And I would have been more in submission. And later on, when I became adult, I realized that some of the stuff he was trying to tell me, my dad was trying to tell me, wasn't all that bad. And if I would have had that fear, I wouldn't have been so bent on my own destruction. It's a miracle of God I lived through my teenage years. Verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteresses shall surely be put to death. For the survival of the nation, this would be true in this country. When I grew up, I don't know if it's most states, there was many states in America where adultery was still illegal. You could go to jail for being adulterous. And I would say probably 100 years ago, probably every state in the country you'd go to jail for being adulterous. You'd be fine. And it put the fear in people. Oh man, all it would take would be for my wife to find out. She calls the cops, I go to jail. And I get a fine. I go before a judge and I'm humiliated. It's in the paper, so-and-so committed adultery. And the fear prevented people from committing adultery. And that's why most of the people I grew up with had mommy, daddy at home. Had a mom and dad, and we all just were riding our bikes and having fun, and everything was kind of normal in America. And now look at what kids are growing up with. Less than half of the kids in America have mom and dad. We have a judicial system that's going crazy with all the kids that are going through. We're going bankrupt as a people. We're not going to survive. We're not going to survive one generation because of what's happened to this country by the breakup of the family. See, Satan knows he can break up a family, destroy mother, father, respect of the parents by the children, bring in vileness into the family, adultery and immorality and everything. And then he knows, boom, just if I can do that in a generation or two, I've destroyed that country. And he's been quite effective here in this country. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, and this verse was one of the verses this atheist brought up this weekend, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. What about that? The Bible says kill homosexuals. I said, you know, I don't want to kill homosexuals. I want homosexuals to be believers in Jesus. But if the nation wanted to survive, we would outlaw homosexuality, and every homosexual would be, when found guilty, executed. To stop the trend towards homosexuality, which will lead to the destruction of this country, just like it did Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it did Rome, just like it's done to every country that has embraced homosexuality, has been destroyed. If I wanted America to stay, this is what I'd want, because God knows. And then to say, haven't you noticed as we do, but it's not going to happen. We're not going to change that law. We are going to get more and more into homosexuality, and we are going to be destroyed. And have you noticed it started? And he didn't deny it. That's what I think we should say. If the atheists were correct that there is no God, then he should have been able to rebut me and say, what do you mean? There's never been a country that has embraced homosexuality that automatically then goes into the ash heap of history. What do you mean? There is no God that we answer to. We're just evolved amoebas. Homosexuality is just a natural consequence. Everybody, the animals do it, whatever. And see, he should be able to just refute me, but he can't refute me. Because history has proven that nobody embraces homosexuality as a nation and survives. Verse 14, if a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they. And there shall be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. You know, it's embarrassing to even read this stuff. And people could say, how in the world? What are you talking about? This is vile. And yet, God's going to then say, but this is what the nations that I'm kicking out before you did. Is it something that's happening in America? Yes. 2005, a man in Enumclaw died by a horse. And that became statewide news to the point where last year, and they realized when it happened, this is an internet, everybody was finding out about this farm over in Enumclaw, and people were coming from all over, and then they looked around and they go, this guy died, but there's no law in Washington against it because people didn't even think they needed a law for such vileness. And so our legislators last year had to sit there and go, you know what, we need a law. And there were senators that were actually embarrassed of even having the papers go across their desk to have to vote with it. And that's why I even bring it up. It's embarrassing to bring it up, but our legislators in this state had to deal with making it illegal. And you know why they did? For the protection of animals. Yeah. If it had been because of the law of God, saying it's an abomination and that will be destroyed, people would have laughed the legislators out of the Capitol Hill. But it was because the animal rights activists said this is horrible for animals. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter and his mother's daughter and sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of his people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his guilt. And oh that this law applied in families where women could grow up in their family being safe from fathers and grandfathers and brothers, etc., because people feared the law of God. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness, a monthly flow is what it's talking about, and uncovers her nakedness, he has exposed her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood, both of them shall be cut off from their people. And this one is obviously another one of the, I mean, the atheists didn't bring this up, but many people do that find this, and what about that? Well, as we said earlier in the STD chapter of Leviticus, the law helped prevent the spread of disease. For when there was immorality among the wife or the husband, the obedience to this law helps to prevent the spread of disease. Two, it maintained the Jewish mindset towards the preciousness of blood. The life is in the blood. It just God wanted to instill in the Jewish mind, life is in the blood, so that the sacrificial blood meant something to them, deeply to something to them. So he kept the whole concept by this law. And thirdly, and I think this was an important part, it would have increased the fertility of the Jewish people for a husband and a wife to abstain during this time, so that there would have, and actually there's a few days after this time they're supposed to abstain, and actually that afterwards, when the afterwards time is over with, the woman is very fertile. And we see that in Exodus, but in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, the Egyptians were saying, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king of Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to this people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now, the Egyptians didn't have Planned Parenthood, and they might have been sacrificing their sons and daughters as a way of population control, but given all that aside, they're saying, boy, those Jews are multiplying way faster than us, because the blessing of God was upon them, because the law of God would have been upon them, and there would have been a better fertility for the Jewish people as a result of this law. Whatever the reason why God has it, this is the law of God pertaining to the Jewish nation. And you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, nor your father's sister, for that would uncover the near kin, and they shall bear their guilt. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall be childless. They shall die childless. A divine judgment, obviously. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. And that's unless the brother is required to take the wife because the husband died without a child born to his name, and I'm sure Jeremy covered that earlier in the study. And you shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you. For they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. Do not walk in their statutes. See, the statutes of the Canaanites were like the statutes of America. The statutes of the Canaanites were, you shall permit homosexuality, you shall permit adultery, you shall permit all these things, all these immoralities. And God is saying, you don't do it by their statutes. Their statutes are out, my statutes are in. Because the land will vomit you out. The land, and he talks about how the ground will become hard through drought or fire. You know, he doesn't talk about hurricanes specifically in Deuteronomy 28, but all the things that happen, that are increasingly happening, that you will become a debtor nation. We are a debtor nation. The alien will rule among you. We're being ruled. Anybody that doesn't believe that, just call up any number and say, push one for English. Why should we have to push one for English? I didn't have to push one for English when I was a kid. There wasn't even a button to push when I was a kid. You had to just go ching, 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 ching. But, yeah, things have changed because we've turned away from the statutes of God. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. Now, this was the Jews, but we're a separated people too. We as Christians are a separated people, living in a vile place with different statutes. But we're supposed to have the statutes of God ruling in our heart. See, His statutes should be ours. When we raise our children, we say, children, this is what the world's saying. This is what the school's going to teach you in health class. And I'm telling you, if you listen to those statutes, you will die. You will be an abomination to God. If you listen to the statutes of God, you'll have a land flowing with milk and honey in heaven with God forever. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean animals, verse 25, between unclean birds and clean, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or any other kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you is unclean. In other words, eat kosher because I need to keep you alive long enough to have the Messiah. And now long enough for them to be in the land today. And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Why did he separate them from the people? To make them a light to the world. So that the Jewish people would be the light, that people living in darkness would go, man, look at our life, look at our disease, look at our laws are bringing rottenness to our people, but those Jews over there, they live by a light. And that's what's supposed to happen with Christians. They should be able to look at Christians and say, but there's a light. And unfortunately, because we're listening to the world too much, I mean, the statistics are people who call themselves Christians, even attend church, their divorce rate is the same as the world's according to statistics. And we're under tremendous pressure from an enemy who wants to destroy the light of the Christian people in America, which means it's that much harder to just stay true to the Word of God and to love His law and to let it rule in our heart. And a man or a woman who is a medium, verse 27, or who has a familiar spirits, or who has familiar spirits, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And then what astounds me is I have professing Christians arguing with me about Harry Potter. It's about mediums and spirits and familiar spirits. And then the law of God says, you're not even supposed to let a horoscope page be in your paper. You should let, and the medium and spiritist is all wrapped up into horoscopes and astrology and all that other stuff. And it's all occultism. It's all demonic. And God is saying, you don't let any of that in. If you want to stay alive, you won't let any spiritists, channelers, people that listen to familiar spirits, conjure up the dead, crystal ball gaze, tea leaf read, any of that stuff. They all die. They're all out of your nation. And we'll do just a few verses into chapter 21 to get the flavor that we're shifting in chapter 21 to talk about the priesthood. And the Lord said to Moses, Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron. So he's talking about the high priest. These are laws associated with the high priest, the descendants of Aaron. And say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. And the next few verses say, unless an immediate family member dies, the high priest is never to come in contact with dead people. If somebody dies on the street, the high priest is not supposed to go over there and, oh, let me help you with the body, because coming in contact with something dead makes him unclean. The law says nothing is to make the high priest unclean except the immediate family. Later on, it'll say the high priest who's been anointed to be the high priest inside the tabernacle ministering before God, he can't even go see the dead, even if it's his immediate family. Because he's not to be unclean, because our Jesus was not unclean when he ministered as high priest before us in the temple. They shall not make any bald places on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. Now, these cuttings of the baldness on the heads, the shaving of the beard, the cutting of the flesh were things that pagans did. You look at Hare Krishna. What made Hare Krishna people shave everything but the back of their head? The demon spirits that they were listening to, the doctrines of demons that Hare Krishna's listened to that say, shave your head this way. And there were pagans back in the days of Israel, and they would do certain shavings. They would cut themselves for the demons. And God is saying, my priesthood's not going to do that. Now today, and I'll just pass these pictures or leave them up here, but today, that's why if you look at an ultra-Orthodox Jew in Israel, you'll see the sideburns are not cut. They look at that. That's the side of the beard. You never cut the sideburns. So if you see an ultra-Orthodox Jew like that, and then with the kids, because they're not growing sideburns yet, but they let the side of their hair grow long here. Just to make sure that, hey, if we're missing something here, we want to make sure that this isn't what we're violating here in the law. It's because of this verse right here. And we should not be... Our children that cut themselves, there's something spiritually wrong. And it's happening more and more. And it's happening a lot of families. I know Christians, family, friends that have had children that feel like they really want to cut themselves. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the lies of doctrines of demons and the thing, the kids are not serving Jesus. They haven't been walking with Jesus. They've been listening to lies. They're into self-mutilation, and it's something that God made absolutely clear. No high priest can be involved with it. And they shall not take a wife who is a harlot or defiled woman, meaning not a virgin, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. So the priesthood was supposed to be the high priest. Every descendant of Aaron was able to be the high priest inside of the tabernacle. But because there were many thousands of descendants of Aaron over the years, only one of those descendants would actually go into the Holy of Holies or into the holy place to do some of the stuff of the priesthood. So these laws apply to that entire thousands. And then later on, there's some verses that pertain to that one guy who acts as the high priest, even goes to a higher standard. And that is because, again, the priesthood of Aaron was a type leading to when Jesus would be our high priest. And he was blemishless. He had no defilement. He was not defiled. He was not unclean. He was perfect when he went before God. And so all these laws are pertaining to that. And one thing we did notice, and we'll cover this again next week because it gets into it, but the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood was allowed to marry. The Bible never forbids anybody to marry. In fact, it says doctrines of demons in the last day will cause some people to forbid marrying, which again just shows that the Catholic Church's policy is not from God, but is actually from the pits, some of the doctrines that they have received. So, anyway, I know that this is a tough section of Scripture. It's why many people avoid Leviticus, but it's fruitful. It's fruitful for us, and I pray, you know, as we were sitting there listening to this atheist, it was just a blessing to me to hear Jeremy and others be able to talk to him, to be equipped, because these are the questions people have. And the way it's spun in the schools and in the universities of America is, oh, look how backward the Bible is because it says this stuff. And we should be equipped, and we should be bold enough to defend the truth, and to say the Bible's not backward. If you hadn't noticed by reading the paper, I think America is backward. I think the people that profess themselves to be wise are actually, according to the Bible, fools. And they're leading us down the fool's path to destruction. And so since it looks like there's no stopping this train going down the track to destruction, and you're on it, you might want to really think about getting off the train and getting into a belief of Jesus Christ as your Savior, because otherwise you will perish with all those that are heading down this path that we have so foolishly partaken as a country. Father, we love you and we thank you for the law that is converting to the soul, for those that humble themselves and believe that you truly know how you've created us and what's best for us as a country, as a person. And Lord, I pray that we'd all, even though we've all been bit by this, I cursed my parents, and yet I know that you died on the cross to save me from sin. And just all the things, all of us in this room have fallen so short in so many ways according to your law, but your grace and mercy is upon us through your Son Jesus if we just simply trust in you as our Savior. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be bold and courageous in sharing this truth with those who have not yet seen and are still deceived by the enemy of their souls. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.